Well, I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. The Gospel of John, and chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, we live in a world wherein we know there is a continual contrast given to us between light and darkness. You know, God's creative order reminds us of this. By the day and by the night. You know how it is, we change our clocks and we know that when we get to the end of March, we're going to have the longer evenings, and then we change the clocks back in October, and we have the shorter evenings, and we have more darkness in the winter time than in the summertime. I remember, you know how it is, June the 21st, which is like the midsummer day, and I remember I was popped into the barber's one morning. It was June the 21st, and there was a very grumpy old man that was in front of me, and he was talking to the man, the barber, and he said, oh, it's the longest day of the year today. And he said, yes, and now, as from today, the days are going to get shorter. And I thought, well, that's very cheerful. And but, you know, we do know that creation reminds us of a constant contrast between light and darkness. And the world is actually populated quite simply by two groups of people. Whatever nation we come from, they are, the world is populated by the children of the light and the children of the darkness. Now, in the Bible, light represents God and the light that emanates from a believer who follows God. The Apostle John, when he was writing his letter, said, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. This was the message that Jesus gave to them. This is something of the teaching that the apostles had direct from the teacher himself, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Absolutely no darkness. And so we need to think in our minds, and we need to really discipline our minds, and we need to constantly remind ourselves day after day that God is light, Jesus is the light of the world, and anything to do with God is light. Anything to do with God is true. Anything to do with Satan and sin is darkness. And if we keep thinking of that and keep remembering that, that will help us to use greater discernment. And when we look about, we think about the Lord Jesus, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of truth. I am the light of hope. I am the light of salvation. I am the one that brings a message of hope to you. And I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a light can be switched on in your life. You don't need to be walking as a child of the darkness. By God's grace, and grace alone, you can become a child of the light. And when the Lord Jesus was born here upon earth, it was it was prophesied that it was like this. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Here is the answer then this evening to the darkness in this world. The answer is Jesus, who is the light of the world. Jesus said, I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in the darkness. Are you abiding in the darkness this evening? What is the answer? What can dispel the darkness? How can the darkness be dispelled from your mind? Well, Jesus says it's in him. He says, I've come as a light into the world, and if you believe in me, and you say, well, I struggle to believe in the Lord Jesus, you can't believe on your own strength. That's not real belief. What to do if you say, well, I struggle so much with unbelief? Well, however feeble your prayers might be, the first thing you need to do is go on your knees and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Deal with it, Lord. Help me to deal with it. Give me a stronger faith, Lord. Work in my soul, Lord. This is what you should be praying. Oh, Lord, help me to truly believe on your precious name. Help me to truly trust in you. And the Jesus said, do you think if your earthly father knows how to give good things to his children, that your heavenly father would deny you the Holy Spirit? Who could have thought such a thing? If our fallen fathers, who are sinful, as we all are by nature, and our fathers know to give good gifts to their children, how much more shall our heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Whoever believes in me should not abide in the darkness. And when the apostles taught here upon earth, they had a wonderful confidence in the Lord Jesus as the light. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, said about the Lord Jesus, and he spoke in a very profound way. He said, it is Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. You see, the darkness has a power. I remember as a little boy, we had some relations to stay with us in Bedfordshire, when we lived in Bedfordshire, and they lived in London. And you know, those of you who have lived in London, you know that there's street lights everywhere. There isn't much darkness in London as such. There is spiritually, but I mean, I'm talking now about the physical side, the creative side, because if there's so much artificial light, there's lights everywhere. And when this family came to stay with us, and we had to take them somewhere in the evening, I didn't think anything of it. But the lady, the mother, was shaking as we drove in the country roads. I said, why are you so frightened? She said, I've never been in the darkness like this. It's all around, it's dark. You've just got the headlights of the car. And it's like the darkness is affecting me. It's around me. And this is what Paul says. Do you not realize that if you're a child of the darkness this evening, that is, you're an unbeliever and you're living in the world, you're living under a power. It's not just darkness. Darkness has a power. It's affecting your whole being. But the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world, he can deliver you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his only, of the Son of his love. God in Christ Jesus has the power to deliver us and to convey us into his kingdom. The Son of his love. But then, there is a wonderful promise this evening if you will follow Jesus. If you have a desire to follow Jesus this evening as the light of the world, the Bible has a very special promise for you. The Bible says, I will make darkness light before them. and the crooked places straight. These things I will do for them, and not forsake them. This is the promise to the followers of Jesus, that the darkness will be made light before them. It's just like Jesus is going in front of you with one of those incredible laser beam torches. You know, these laser lights. And they're so powerful, aren't they? When you put on these new new type bulbs and these new type torches, they've got incredible power in the bulbs. And Jesus goes before his people. And then, you know, when we think about the gospel and the ministry of the church and preaching the gospel and our outreach ministries and sharing the gospel as we go about, there is a great purpose. What is the purpose? Well, we've already seen previously that the grand and greatest purpose of the gospel is to bring glory to God. But how about how it affects the people we minister to? And the Apostle Paul said that Jesus said to him that this was his ministry of the gospel, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, the power of the darkness, to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Well, there is a call to you this evening as we read from Scripture about the light, Jesus being the light. The Apostle Paul said, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light by faith. We have to cast it off. We have to repent of our sin. And this means to cast off the works of darkness means to repent of our sin. And it means to reject the darkness and turn to the light. Let us put on the armor of light. By faith, let us come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be walking as children of light. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. And again, the Apostle Peter, just like Paul, he says about the Lord's people, after they've been converted, he describes their character, and he says, do you not know that you're God's own special people? But there's a purpose for this, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, the first thing this evening, quite simply, is this. Always, always, always link the light with God, the light with the Lord Jesus, the light with the Word of God. Everything about God is light. And that light has life in Christ Jesus. But everything about Satan is darkness. However sweetly that Satan might tempt you, however seemingly reasonable Satan may tempt you to disobey God, however much he might make it sound and seem and taste so sweet, it's darkness. Because in the Bible, darkness represents Satan. The Bible says the way of the wicked is darkness. And because it's darkness, they do not know what makes them stumble. And the Bible describes the state of unbelief as those that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. And Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. That's their problem. And that's why we need grace to save us. That's why we need the power of God to save us. Because by nature, we love the darkness rather than the light. We don't naturally love Jesus. We don't naturally love God. We need a work of grace. We need God to work in our lives. And as we come under the conviction of our sin and really we realize that we are children of the darkness, then the Spirit of God will lead us to cry out to the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. That we might be delivered from this darkness. Again, in Psalm 107, we read, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and He broke their chains in pieces. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. Well, evil is associated with the darkness. We have the so-called dark web. We have the nightclubs. We have the Dark Souls video games. We have light in this dark world. And the light is associated with salvation and truth and liberty and knowledge and wisdom and love. And in assessing the problem of sin, as much as we must always link light with God, we must always link darkness with sin. It's not from above where the light comes. It's from beneath where is the darkness. And so this evening we're either walking in the darkness or walking in the light. Our lives are either being lived in the light of the world, Jesus Christ, or we're living in the darkness. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Well, what is the effect of knowing Jesus? What is the effect of coming to the light? What is the effect of this wonderful light that emanates from Jesus Christ, the light of truth, the light of the gospel, the light of salvation, the light of hope? Do you know, Psalm 34, we mentioned it this morning. David said in Psalm 34, they looked to him and were radiant. There wasn't much radiance in David's life when he was looking to Achish. But when he looked to the Lord Jesus, by faith the Messiah, when he looked to God, he said they looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. Oh, David was so ashamed of his face before. He'd pretended to be the madman. But back in Cave Adullam, he thinks about the right way. And he knows that we look to God, we will be radiant. Their faces will not be ashamed. And the Apostle Paul takes up this same theme and he says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. There's something going on in the life of those that follow the light of the world, because it's the light of life. It's not just a light that shines. It's a light that brings life. But the effect of the light then is radiance. It brings well-being into the soul. It's life. What are the effect of the darkness though? If your eye is bad, Jesus said, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore that light which is in you, which you think is light, is actually darkness, how great is the darkness? And so, as much as we look to God in the context of the light, we must always look to sin in the context of the darkness. And that will help us to understand something of the danger and the nature of sin. And in my final part of my message this evening, I just want to have a quick look, a brief look at this testimony of the woman taken in adultery, because this is the context in which Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So the Pharisees, religious leaders, they brought this woman to Jesus. They've not brought her to Jesus as people who want her to know Jesus for herself. They're not witnessing. They're not on outreach here. Oh no, they're not on outreach. These religious leaders are on condemnation. That's what they're about. They dragged this woman to Jesus that they might have something in which to accuse him. They're going to use this woman as a way of getting at Jesus. She's just a tool in their hands. But she is being brought under their condemnation. They are her judges. They have already judged the case. They've caught her in adultery. Here is an open and shut case. And we'll bring her to Jesus, see what he will do with her. And we'll try and trap him. But you see, Jesus was teaching the people. And these scribes and Pharisees, they just burst into a worship service. When Jesus is teaching, this is an act of worship. This is the Son of God teaching people. This was an act of worship. And these religious leaders just barge in. They drag this woman into this meeting and interrupt a worship service. And they use scripture in a wrong way, in an aggressive way, and a sinful manner for their own ends. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be such should be stoned. But what do you say? They were taken the name of the Lord in vain. You see, we have to be so careful how we use scripture. And they thought this problem would trap Jesus between a rock and a hard place. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But look at the wisdom of Jesus. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He's brought light into this poor woman's life. They only were thinking about condemnation. They were only thinking about catching Jesus out. But Jesus took that dreadful situation and he brought light into a dark place. Well, Jesus knew their hypocrisy. He knew that probably this woman had been used and abused by the man, and certainly here abused by the religious leaders. But they all had a conscience, and they were convicted. You see, we have something in our being which can wake up under God's power at any time in our life. Our conscience may have become dormant and hard, but it may not yet be beyond the power, the awesome convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And the conscience is easily, really, the best man's best friend. It's to be respected, not abused. It can awaken us at any time under the power of the Holy Spirit. And these consciences were awoke, and one by one, their consciences convicting them. went out without throwing a stone. The law said, stone her. But grace said, forgive her. And grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are the testimony of the woman? She was guilty, yes. She'd been caught in the very act. She was surrounded. All eyes were upon her. But one man knew exactly what to do. And she's not condemned because of the light of the world, because of Jesus Christ. She's forgiven. And then she's challenged to faith and obedience in repentance. And she's directed by the light of the world to follow Jesus, who is the light of the world. And she could look to the future with hope now, because in Christ as the light there is hope. There was now purpose in her life, and she could walk no longer in the darkness, but in the light. Oh, she would have been grateful to the Lord Jesus. She would have been one of the trophies of God's grace. She would have appreciated grace. She would have marveled at the forgiveness. She would have marveled at this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus, that had saved her and not condemned her, but saved her. And because she was forgiven much, she undoubtedly would have loved much. And it was in this context that Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world. He is the light of life. He is the light of truth. He is the light of love and wisdom and faith and obedience. The question is this evening, are we walking in the darkness or are we walking in the light? Living as an unbeliever in this world is like being led by Satan into a cave. And this cave is lit artificially. There is a light, but it's artificial light. And you go deeper and deeper into the cave of sin. And deeper into the cave of worldliness. And as you go deeper and deeper into the cave, you need to depend more and more and more on the artificial light. And it seems like it is light, but it's really artificial light. But then at the end of the unbeliever's life, the artificial lights are switched off. And there's the blackness of darkness forever. And it is this eternal, never-ending blackness of darkness forever that Jesus, the light of the world, delivers us from and delivered this woman because she repented, because she fell at the feet of Jesus, because she looked to the Lord Jesus by faith and she trusted only in the Lord Jesus. But what about the man? Well, the man probably ran off. And he probably went into the night. He perhaps went back to his wife. And he thought to himself, I've got away with this. Nobody need know. I no need to tell my wife. It's not a problem. Nobody need know. The religious leaders aren't going to let me down. They won't. I'm a man. They're not going to speak against me. And I've got away with it. And that's how Satan may tempt you about sin. You may have committed a sin, and a very serious sin perhaps, and nobody knows about it. And you think, oh, I've got away with that. But you haven't got away with it. Because God knows. And this man may have run away at that time in the darkness. But he couldn't run away from God. And so it is this evening. don't run away from God in further into the cave of darkness. The answer is not to run away. The answer is to be at the feet of Jesus like this woman, that Jesus might say, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." It may have seemed liberating for the man to seemingly get away with it, but actually the one who was really liberated was the one that came to know Jesus, the light of the world. Because she was truly forgiven and she was liberated from Satan, who is the king of the darkness. And she came to follow the king of the light, the Lord Jesus.